you for Marty. We thank you that he loves you and he's realized that you love him. And so, Lord, out of that, your word will flow today in Jesus' name.
Amen. Hey, everyone. How are you? Gee whiz, Emma. What a great intro. I was scheduled to get vulnerable at the end of my sermon, but you're forcing me to do it up front. I have a deceitful heart. How do I know that? Because I go to God's word. I have God search my heart on a regular basis. And in Jeremiah 17:9, it says this, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything flows from it. Above all else, the most important thing, guard your heart. Let me water this down for our friends in recovery. So how do I have God search my heart? So I take inventory. I share it with someone. And out of that flows the things from my heart. So the deceit, the unforgiveness, the manipulation, these little dark pockets in my heart that are still there, God shines light into. I share it with someone and I get out, I get saved. So if my heart is deceitful and beyond cure and I can't rule my own heart, what do I do with that? I need a king to rule and reign over my heart. Today is the start of our celebration. If you love the Lord, this is our grand final week. Yes. This is our grand final week. Amen. Amen. So the guys at the beginning of church, they read the scripture about how the king was welcomed. How the king was welcomed. Jesus, tremendously humble, sensitive, compassionate, loving, gentle, serving. But he was not at all modest. He wasn't modest about this. He walked into the temple, the house of God, and he said, "My house is a house of prayer." And then he rearranged the furniture like he owned the place. Okay, he wasn't humble about this. One of my favorite preachers, Tim Keller, he talks on the kingship of Christ like this. Confrontational, number one. Jesus says, "I am king, I am the Messiah, I'm the Son of Man, I'm the Son of God, I am God. I won't accept lukewarm." Very, very confrontational. He is paradoxical. He comes gentle, not forceful. He comes as a servant. He has all power, but he's meek. There's the paradox. Transformational. He comes transformational. He is coming. He's on his way. He is transforming us every day. He's doing a good work in us, and he will finish it. He will finish the job. Let me share a little story. Last week, girl comes into the shop, Salvo store, starts stealing. I can't get a good look at her. I know she's stealing, so I walk out the front of the shop. I'm standing out the front of the shop and I'm watching her fill her bags, and her boyfriend's watching me watch her. And then he runs in and tells us, he said, "The bloke with the big beard." Because he said it right in front of Joe. "The bloke with the big beard's watching you." Like this. So when she comes out, of the shop. I said, hey, Dom, can I have a look in your bag, please? There's the confrontation, right? This is my stuff. This is my stuff. The boyfriend goes, no, no, yep. I said, you can open the bag, bud. Open it up. Grabbed a pair of jeans out. She said, they're my jeans. They're my jeans. I said, yeah, here's the paradox. They are your jeans. Don't come in here and steal. You don't have to. My name's Marty. Come in. Talk to me. I'll give it to you. Okay? There's the seed. How do I know that's the heart of God? Because Marty wants to get her in a headlock. Start doing these ones. Don't come back in here and steal. You're a pest. Here's the transformation. The other day she came into the store. I was actually out doing pickups. But she came back into the store looking for me. There's a transformation. Okay? I shared that story with Dawn. And she said, you know what? Every time she puts on those jeans, she's going to think of that encounter. Yeah. Amen. Is that Jesus' heart? Yeah. I know it's Jesus' heart. Because it's not mine. Yeah. Like I said, it's grand final week. Hallelujah. Marty wants to tackle. wants to tackle people.
Good.
Okay, so before Jesus comes into Jerusalem, he announces his messiahship, his kingship for the first time in Jericho to blind Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus is crying out, Son of David, Son of David. You know what that means? It means ultimate and final king. And Jesus walks up to him and says, what can I do for you? Okay? He says, have mercy on me. He heals him. I think at this point, right, the disciples are just like, he just announced his kingship. We get Jerusalem. We fight the Romans. They're all getting excited. All right, they're all getting excited. And why wouldn't they be? Because in their carnal mind, it makes sense. It makes sense. What army wouldn't want a general that can raise the dead? Battle's done. We'll just go around. Up you get, buddy. Up you get, buddy. No, you can stay down. Okay. Whoop. You had your ear chopped off, mate. There you go, champion. Put that back on for you. He can feed multitudes out of thin air. What do you want for lunch, boys? Yep, some fish and some bread. You know? Who wouldn't want a general like that? Any army would. Here's the thing. It would have been pointless for Jesus to come in as a king, as it was mentioned by Gary, on a war horse, take over the Romans, conquer the Romans. Why? Because as soon as I do that, someone else is going to take you captive. You're going to take someone else captive. And around and around and around it goes. Jesus didn't come to change their circumstances. He didn't come to change our circumstances. He comes to change our heart. Yeah. That's what he comes for. Yeah, rides a donkey. Any general riding a donkey into a battle is asking to be slaughtered. Servants rode donkeys. Priests rode donkeys. Anyone who was coming in peace rode a donkey. I think this is the big one for me when I was writing this sermon. To receive the revelation of the cross, we need to understand the purpose of the cross. Because sin is the servant putting himself in the king's position. So how does God remedy that? With salvation, the king puts himself in the servant's position. And that's how he wins us back. He wins our hearts. Could you imagine if Jesus entered the heart of every person on this planet? There'd be no such thing as war. There'd be no such thing as greed. You know, and that's what he came to do. He said, I'm not going to conquer the Romans. I'm not going to change your circumstances. What I'm going to do is I'm going to conquer your heart, right? And then your circumstances won't matter because you'll be looking through my eyes. Be looking through my eyes. You're going to get a fresh view of what's actually going on here, and your circumstances won't matter, okay? Because it'll be flooded with love and kindness, gentleness, and all the things that he is that we're not when we stress out and when we're full of fear. Am I right? So make no mistake, Jesus was riding a donkey into the greatest battle that creation has ever seen. It's still going. He came to conquer a spiritual battle. We have a highly organized, cunning, powerful enemy. The Bible says that he schemes, he divides us, he infiltrates our communities, our families. This is where I was scheduled, Emma, to start getting vulnerable, right here. Our marriages, he comes to infiltrate our church. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He will discourage us, torment us, shame us, distract us, seduce us. And he'll always, always have us questioning God. This is what he does. He comes uninvited. Uninvited. Here's the paradox. Jesus, on the other hand, needs to be invited. He needs to be invited. He will knock. He comes in peace. He won't mess with your free will. He won't mess with it. You can say no. Son of David, ultimate and final king, which means final authority. If Jesus is king of my heart, then he has the final authority. Okay? Over what? If I let him into my heart, then his love compels me. I don't have a heap of stuff to do. I don't have to be in performance. I don't have to muster up all these works. His love compels me to change the way I do business, to change the way how I raise my children, how I love my enemies, how I give, everything. He changes everything. Amen. Amen. So I've got this long-winded conclusion here. Yeah, Lord, I'll say it. So one of my favorite scriptures of all time, when Jesus goes into Jerusalem, right? The Pharisees scheme. They scheme to set him up. They give him, it's on the issue of tax. Right? If he says yes, then the Jews will kill him. If he says no, then the Romans will kill him. They said, they hand him a denarius and they say, should we be paying taxes to the Romans? Jesus looks at the coin and he says, whose image is on this? And they say, Caesar. And he says, we'll give Caesar what is Caesar's. Okay, what they should have, and he says, what, give God what is God's. Give Caesar what is Caesar's, give God what is God's. And they went, okay, they should have followed that up with another question, what is God's? What is God's? You know what he would have said? Whose image is on you? Yeah. Right? That's what he would have said. Okay, so give God what is God's. So if his image is on me, what does he want from me? He just wants my heart. Okay? Amen.
Amen?
When I give him my heart, everything flows out of that. Everything flows out of the heart. So guard it. Guard your heart. I need the breastplate of righteousness. I need to put on this armor. Okay? I need I need the shield of faith. When the enemy fires an arrow, boom, up it goes. Nah, not happening. I need the sword of the Spirit. So when people speak death over me, I go, yeah, here's some life back at you. Okay? I need the helmet of salvation. I need to protect my mind. Okay? I need to protect my mind and know that I'm saved. Know that I'm saved in salvation. Okay? I need to put on the shoes, the gospel of peace, so I can just go, here you go. Here's some peace. You're in fear and anxiety. Here's some peace for you. Amen. So again, I'm going to invite the band back up. So I'm going to change my altar call as well. I've got this written here, but I just really sense it in my spirit. We've seen it here already. Okay. Emma, when you share like that, you're sharing your heart to God. When you praise God, you're sharing your heart. Okay? When you pray, you share your heart. Usually I'd say, come up here, right? If you want to hand your heart to Jesus, I'll come and kneel with you. You know, if that's what you want to do, come up. But let me say this, if you want to pray for me, come up and pray for me. I'm a receiving machine. I'll receive your prayers. I need your prayers. Okay, if you want to pray for Andrew, he needs your prayers. You want to pray for Dawn? You want to walk across the room, pray for someone? It's about listening to your heart. If you want to stand there and praise, give him your heart. Give him your heart. Thanks, guys.